Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. I am so happy to have you as a listener of the Mom Forum podcast. And if you would like to further support us, you can become a patron of ours. Just visit us at patreon.com/themomforum, and you can support us with a monthly subscription at the $3 level, $5, or $7. It's just a tiny monthly payment that will add up to a ton of support here for the work that we do at the Mom Forum. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and please share these episodes. And if you could take a moment, we would love to hear a review and your thoughts on the Mom Forum podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with Virginia Duan. She is a Taiwanese-American woman, a married mama to four children that she homeschools, and a huge K-pop fan. Like, huge. In this episode, we chat about the myths of homeschooling and what it actually looks like for her, and she does not fall into that stereotype. We chat about K-pop, and she may have convinced me to watch a few BTS videos. Just look it up. Just go to YouTube and look it up. And she is also one of the rawest, most open people. And you should really read some of her writing at mandarinmama.com to find out for yourself. But in this episode, she so freely shares about how she was confronted with the anger from her own childhood as a mom and an adult and how she dealt with that. And if you have ever had to deal with your own anger, this is an episode that is a must listen. Hi, Virginia. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Alicia. Thanks for having me.
In a hotel room.
Hey, you know.
We're not doing any funny business here, though.
We're funny.
Well, there's that, but there's no funny business on a bed. We're just visiting each other in a hotel room in Northern Cali. Okay, so tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh.
Who are you a mom to?
I'm a mom to... Do I look at the camera?
Just talk.
Okay. I'm a mom to four children.
Yes. We have that same feeling.
So I have a 9-year-old boy, a 7-year-old girl, a 5-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old boy.
And you are married?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I'm married. He was instrumental to the four children. He said I could have a fifth, but he wasn't going to be the father, and he'd be okay with it as long as that person supported the fifth child.
And so. He didn't have to take... I've been told that before, yeah. That I could have more children, but we're done, too. I think we've had enough.
Yeah, I think... Yes.
Yes.
You've doubled my children, so we're good.
Well, I didn't have that.
Well, before, I know, but...
We have that many.
Collectively.
Yes, we've had enough. And you also homeschool them, which I think is insane. And you actually admit that it is insane...
Yeah, it was a poor life decision on my part.
What made you choose to homeschool your kids?
It was three main things. One is I wanted to retain the language. So we speak Mandarin at home. Well, I speak Mandarin at home. My children reluctantly speak it back to me. And my husband does not speak anything other than English. And I always make fun of him for saying that he doesn't even speak that well, even though that's his native language. He appreciates that. Since I grew up, I was born and raised in America, and I knew it was very difficult for me to learn and retain Chinese. Mm-hmm. And I felt like since my kids are multi-ethnic, it was very important for me, for them to retain my people's language. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that if they went to school, I mean, how can you not? If you're in school, it's in English, right? And 90% of your day is going to be English. You're going to lose Chinese so fast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to retain Chinese. And you don't have to homeschool to retain it. There are less dramatic ways to do so. So that is one. That was one of the main reasons. And then two, I have like mutually exclusive competing core beliefs. Which are one, I think children are heavily overscheduled.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
true.
Like, there's just no time.
I agree.
They just have too many things. But two, I believe children should learn as many things as possible because that's when your brain is, like, useful.
And, like, and growing.
Right? And, like, but I have four kids. Let's say each kid is only in one extracurricular activity. I'm never going to see my children.
No.
Right?
Like, or you spend 4 hours in a car every evening like I do.
Right. And it's not fun.
It's not
right?
fun at
no.
all. No. Okay. And I have to give a caveat. My husband does a lot of that too. So
that's
I
good.
May be fair.
And my husband works from home a lot. So he does help. So I'm not always
completely
by myself.
Insanely. Yeah.
Yes. And then the third reason is, I feel like schools don't do now. Okay, I'm a product before. Here's my caveat. I'm a product of California public schools. I went to a very good college. I got good jobs. Mm-hmm. The things I know, I got it from school, right? So it's not like I'm just this brilliant person who came. And I am a brilliant person.
Of course.
Just sprung out of nothing. I'm a product of this education that I'm, like, poo-pooing, I guess.
Yes.
And I'm not saying this is for everybody. But for me, I was like, you know what? I distinctly remember in seventh grade world history class.
Yes.
A world history class, right? Like a 5,000-page textbook. China, 5,000 years of history, had a half page. Half page, right? And then, like, the other half page is, like, Africa. And the other half page is, like, South America. And the other half page is Australia or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Japan. I don't know.
That's how it goes.
And that's it.
Pretty much.
Right? And you're like, okay, so what you really mean is European history, but we already learned that.
Yeah.
And I was so angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand. I couldn't, like, other than being angry about it and going, hey, what's that about, you know? Like, I didn't understand how the way school teaches us shapes us. I mean,
yeah.
I was, like, what, 11? So I guess it's understandable I didn't understand it. So for me, I, as a grown-up, and I look back on, like, all the, like, Black history that I didn't know anything about, Asian American history, any history that was not whitewashed,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I mean, from kindergarten, starts, like, in preschool, when you learn the myth of America, and Columbus sailed the ocean blue, you're like, no, he was a rapist! A genocidal, horrible human. Like,
and they don't teach. Well, you can't really teach that to kindergartners, but
you don't have to tell them, like, oh, he discovered
he
America.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so I didn't want my children to either have to unlearn it,
mm-hmm.
because it's really hard to unravel that narrative, you know, and that, or two, to believe it wholesale.
Yeah.
Right? And then go, what are you talking about? America's great.
Yeah.
And
America is great.
Is
We're
great.
Not saying that. They don't teach the full history. I can't tell you how many conversations I have had to have with my children at the over the dinner table, correcting them, or when they make a minor joke about, oh, you look like Kunta Kinte. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Let's go take this back to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big... But you decided to homeschool and do it yourself.
Yes, and that was not on purpose. Well, I mean, eventually it was on purpose, but that's not, like, when I had a kid, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to homeschool. I just assumed I would do the same things my parents would do, which is, you know, speak to my kids in Chinese, send them to Chinese school, have them be, like, mostly illiterate, but, like, can speak. Maybe I would be happy if they could, like, speak back to me. And then just, you know, throw them into school and... I turned out okay, so I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, supplement some information or, like,
What was the turning point? When did you say, no, I am going to homeschool?
I mean, I think someone I knew... So I, like, starting around, like, two or three, I started looking for, like, bilingual Mommy and Me classes
mm-hmm.
or music classes or, like, preschools that were bilingual. And they were opening up all these, like, Mandarin immersion schools, but they weren't really close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest one to me, you had to live in a certain neighborhood, and, like, there was, like, eight people per slot, and it was a lottery. So I was like, I'm probably not going to get into that. So I was like, well, I'll just try and cram as much Chinese in them as possible so that there's be a good foundation before they're like brainwashed into English. Mm-hmm. And then one of my friends who was also in the Mandarin Mommy and Me class said she was considering homeschooling because she had two older kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, homeschooling? Yeah. Aren't crazy. They all like, like Mennonites with like weird white caps and like there's, they're in a, like their kitchen with the chalkboard and learning about Jesus things. Yeah. And then they can't
map. The truth is there is that stigma about homeschooling.
Yes.
That they're odd people that do it for religious reasons, mm-hmm. or something along that line.
Yeah. And I guess you could say that my thinking is odd.
Some people could.
Right. You know,
that.
So, yeah. So I never knew it was an option. Mm-hmm. And, so the more she talked about it, I was like, okay. So then I joined like local homeschooling groups and I started researching things, and then eventually so what happened is I thought, oh well, kindergarten, I mean,
that's pretty simple, like, I can handle that,
I can read, I'm pretty sure I can teach my kid like 1 through 20.
Yes.
Right. And pretty sure I can teach him letters, like, that can't be. This is not, again, to disparage kindergarten teachers. It's just more like...
You had enough knowledge,
right,
to like, handle that.
And if I mess up, it's still just kindergarten, right? Like, it's not like I've ruined them for life.
Yeah.
You know, and we live in an area with excellent schools, amazing school district. So it's not like there wouldn't be resources to help me if I put him back in and he was behind.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't really worried about it. So I was like, well, if it's bad, then I just know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I just thought. So that
so
was.
I take it you liked it and it went better than you thought it was going to go.
Yes, because I don't actually teach my children a lot by myself.
Yeah. And that's another thing that people don't understand about homeschooling. It doesn't mean you're locked in your home with your children 24 hours a day.
Oh, no, because then
them.
I would be in jail.
I say the same thing.
I would have no children.
Yes, that is very true. I would have to agree with you.
And I certainly would have had a fourth. Yeah. A fourth, yeah. So, I mean, I think now homeschooling, at least in California.
Yeah, which is an easier state to homeschool,
yes.
than a lot of other states.
At least in California, homeschooling is more like an umbrella term for like alternative methods of schooling your child.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the system.
Yeah. And so I like to tell people, like, if you as an adult wanted to learn something new, how would you do it?
You'd find other opportunities and options, a course here, a mm-hmm. course there, or someone that's offering something that doesn't necessarily have to be in a school setting.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you like buy books or
Absolutely,
go to library?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, yeah. It's just like that. Like, you're a grown up. You want to learn something new. You can buy courses. You can be online. You can be in person. You can take community classes. You can borrow books. Like, there's just so many resources.
Yeah.
So same thing with homeschooling. They even have like co-ops where you take turns teaching other people's children, mm-hmm. which is like, I don't want to teach my own children. Why would I want to teach your children? And I can't yell at your children, right? Like, I can yell at my kids. I can't yell at yours. So I don't see how this benefits me. How about,
thank you.
So I find that like homeschooling reflects the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And also the children, because you have to take their needs into consideration. But
I would hope so.
But the style is unique to each family.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband says I have rich girl syndrome, which means I just, it's so terrible but true. Is there a problem? I throw money at it.
Where's somebody else that can do this?
Right? Like, why do I have to do it?
Yeah.
Why do I have to do this thing for my kid, right? Like, I don't know how to do kung fu. Why can't we pay other people to teach them stuff that I don't know, right?
Yeah.
So that was really the technical term for it.
So what would you say, what part of it do you actually handle on your own? And what does that require of you? Like, how much planning did you have to do?
Oh, okay.
How much learning of your own did you have to do to be able to provide your children with the proper curriculum?
Okay, so... My children are still young,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're not doing anything too hard yet, right? Like, so, and I, I don't know whether it's because I'm just overly amazed at my own abilities. I'm like, well, I know how to do that. And it doesn't really actually match reality. But for the most part, so the first year I just signed up for all the things. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a Lego class? That's STEM. Because they taught like physics and stuff through the Lego class. Like, I forget the name of the company, but it's...
And was it in Mandarin?
No, it was in English. I mean, I'm reasonable.
Yeah.
But he took like Lego building classes for like science and like physics. And then some math class that was in Chinese, you know, like a math logic class. Mm-hmm. And art classes and soccer. And he's my first kid. And like, I only had two, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sign up for crap. Well, we'll throw money at it, you know, and because... we do it through a charter.
Okay.
So we get funds. So this particular school, I got like a specified amount of money per semester.
And a lot of people don't know that when you choose to homeschool, often you can get funding through your state to pay for a lot of the activities. So I have other friends that are homeschooling, and their funding allows them to pay for their children's dance classes or some of their curriculum that they're using.
So it's usually through a charter.
Okay.
And so it's like, because if you're a PSA, if you, that's a private school association or something, so you can either be, you can homeschool either, you declare yourself as a private school and then you have to register with the state and then they don't give you money for that. Or you, affiliate with like a charter school. So they're technically, you're technically enrolled in that school. And then they provide a teacher, and they're supposed to check in on you every 20 days, look at samples, and like, and depending on the charter you use, they'll give you a certain amount of money. Because I think right now the state gives a school $9,000 per kid.
Yeah, around.
And they keep like the majority of that, and they give you X amount, and as long as it hits their guidelines for like what you can spend money on, they'll reimburse you, or you can use their vendors or whatever.
Yeah, because a lot of people do not know that that is a possibility, and it's not like you're going off of nothing and spending your own money. If you choose to, you can do it that way, but there are other options to this. I looked into homeschooling at one point, and then I got my brain back. Well, my child grew up and had some more opinions and showed me his personality, and I was like, this is not going to work for the two of us at all. Yeah. And they may have to change over time because of the kind of student he is. So I've had to remain open to it. But I've always been curious, like, what does that actually look like? So would you say, like, are you lesson planning at night or in the morning?
No. Oh, my God. No, I do, like nothing. I'm horrible. Because I've discovered over the last, I guess, 4 years now. This is my fourth year homeschooling. That I'm an outsourcing type of person.
That's better for you.
Yes. One could argue, like, if you're going to pay this amount of money, you just might as well send them to a private school or whatever. But again, like, you're still with those types of curriculum or whatever.
Yeah.
So I send my kids out for, Chinese because I can't teach, I'm not good enough to like teach them grammar or like writing or complicated characters and stuff. But I reinforce it at home by speaking to them, making them read in Chinese and do stuff in Chinese and... That's the official term. Do stuff.
live all that stuff.
Live life. Live life in as much Chinese as possible. And I can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can.
Yeah.
I can still do math. And it was hard for me to teach at first. Like with my poor first child, got yelled at a lot.
The testing.
Oh my God! You'd be like weeping. I was like, why doesn't me yelling at you make you remember how to add?
And why are you crying because I'm yelling?
How come that doesn't help you learn?
Yeah.
And I apologize a lot.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
That's learning.
Yes.
When your parent apologizes,
you're learning from that. Yeah, I actually never apologize. I don't know about your family, but Asian families do not know. The only apologizing is, like, one direction, right?
Yes.
Like
No, I had a hippie mom that grew up in Northern California,
so she
apologized to me a lot. She's still apologizing for what I don't know, because she's a great mom, but she's still apologizing.
Yeah, I apologized a lot. I still do.
I do, too, although it's very hard for me. But you also take your children outside of the country so that they can practice this during the summer?
Yes,
so
yes.
Where do you guys go and what do you do?
We go to Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I didn't go last year because having a 18-month-old in a foreign country is not my idea of a pleasant time.
Yes, I would say so.
And so, because he started to walk like at 10 months, so that was not happening. But in general, I take them back to Taiwan. I send them to local camps mm-hmm. in school. So they're just forced to speak Chinese all the time. And the reason I choose local ones is because if you go to ones catering to expat, or not expats, but like overseas people, mm-hmm. then the kids are going to speak English.
Yes.
Right? Like because, and of course, it's still more Chinese than they would have gotten at home. But if, because I have this option, because my kids are fluent enough and they can read, then it's not so hard to put them in local mm-hmm. camps. It's a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper. I imagine, because the amount of monies that I spend on summer camp here is astounding to me. It's
well, even if you go to the summer camps for catered towards overseas people, it's like $1,000 for that 4-week period. Maybe $1,000 to like $1,500.
Yeah.
But a comparable amount of time in a local camp, it was like $600. It was like maybe $800 combined.
Well, for all the kids.
For two kids, for the 4 weeks, it was less than the amount of money it took for my one kid who I sent to like catered more to international students because my kids have food allergies mm-hmm. and the laws are different. So I had to send him somewhere where they could actually give him an EpiPen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a long fight. Yeah. So
this is totally different. Now, how does your husband feel about all of this? Like when you went to him and said, "So, honey, this is what we're gonna do," did he say?
He has concerns.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
He has concerns, and I think sometimes he has valid concerns. Mm-hmm. But in general, he's okay with mm-hmm. it. He's a good sport.
Yes.
He's a very good sport, and he's like, "Okay, don't fuck him up. Too bad."
I'm trusting you. Please don't mess this
up. And part of me is like, dude, they're my kids. And I guess his too. But I was like, there's no way my kid's going to be dumb.
Yeah.
They might be lazy, but there's no way they're going to be dumb, right? Like, school's not that hard.
Yeah.
So I am a little bit overconfident. But I think part of it is just sort of like, I learned a lot of things by reading.
Most of my learning as an adult I'm doing as reading and putting it in practice.
Mm-hmm. And then like the internet, there's like videos and stuff. That's way more, like it's not like you want to learn anything, it's really easy to find.
Right there.
And if you're like me, you just throw money at things and solve the problem, right? Like
there's someone there to fix
right.
it.
So like you asked me like what I actually do. And I think my style of homeschooling might be different from other people, but like I'm very hands off mm-hmm. because less yelling.
I get it.
Right?
Trust me.
And so, my husband, he still sometimes gets mad. He's like, you haven't even shown up downstairs yet. I was like, that's your problem for staying home from work, right? Like, that's your problem for working from home. I do this anyway, like,
yeah.
if you're not here. But I don't usually show up downstairs at like 8:30 or 9. Mm-hmm. But my kids wake up at like 6:30 or 7. And so, I used to let them do whatever they want on like an iPad or a screen mm-hmm. until I showed up. But I realized that wasn't a good start to the day. So now I'm like, you need to read X amount of, like, so my oldest, I have him read at least 45 minutes mm-hmm. or he has to read X amount of pages in Chinese and play piano first. So however long that takes, that's however long it takes until
yeah.
you can look at a screen. If your sister beats you to that screen, that's your own problem, right? Like, read
like
faster,
yeah.
read better.
Get it done.
And so they all have, and my daughter has to read a little bit less because she's 2 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then my 5-year-old, just has to, he doesn't take piano, so he doesn't have to do that. But he has certain things he has to do.
Yeah.
So, and so at least before I even show up downstairs, I feel like I'm already ahead because they've already had to do things.
Well, I like it because you're also teaching them to take on some of their own things, which I feel like nowadays we get to be such helicopter parents that mm-hmm. our kids become so dependent on us to do everything for them.
Yeah.
And then you have these kids who don't know how to self-start anything, don't know how to figure things out for their own. So that Hey, I'm for that. Your husband can call it lazy, but I say you're teaching some lessons.
I feel like it's efficient. I'm teaching them how to manage time and their emotions.
And you get a moment to breathe before the craziness, or you're probably laying down with the 18-month-old.
No, he goes downstairs. I mean, no, we never let our 2-year-old stay on the iPad for that long.
I let my kiddo do some of that stuff, too.
He can say, what's that YouTuber's name, Adam?
Ryan's Toy Reviews. Oh, gosh, yes.
And so they're all speaking in, like, Filipino accented English, which I find hilarious. And so my kid's, like, speaking in Filipino accented English. And I'm like, That's cool. But no, he knows that kid's name. He knows Ryan's name. Mm-hmm. But he can't say 2 of his siblings' names.
That's funny.
I was I'm a bad mother.
He'll figure it out. Yeah. He'll figure it out. Well, because my kids are in Spanish immersion programs, mm-hmm. and my husband is very much so like, are you sure this is working? And don't we need to be doing? And we don't speak Spanish, so how are they learning? I've picked it up a lot more than he has because we're forced. We have to read with them every night.
Oh.
Spanish is way easier because with Spanish, what you see is what you get. With the letters. Look like that is how it is said. Mm-hmm. And I also took Spanish in college, so I had a little bit of a head start. But he is very concerned because with our son's elementary school, which my daughter will be in next year, they don't start teaching English reading until mm-hmm. 3rd grade.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's picked up basic
right
English level reading, but he won't officially start it in school till 3rd grade, mm-hmm. so which is next year for him. So my husband's like, I don't think that's okay. It's okay. Just trust me and let's just relax and we'll catch up to it. I promise.
But he can read Spanish.
Yes, he can read in Spanish.
Then, I mean.
Yeah, so I'm trying to tell him, you know, you have to look at both of them and look at the skills acquired across all of it.
So. I think that's the toughest part. That's the toughest part because I wasn't bilingually schooled, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so. So I same kind of concept like your Spanish immersion school. I didn't teach my son how to read until he was 7.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe 8. I don't know. I can't remember. But like late. Yeah. And then my daughter always does things like at the same time with him because I'm.
You're homeschooling.
I'm efficient.
Yes.
We'll call it efficient. Because she wants to catch up with him.
Yeah.
And
girls tend to do that a little bit faster than the boys do.
Yeah. Much faster. No, you're the same. If you ever listen to children, you were exactly the same. No, you're not. But like they, my husband was really worried and he's still kind of annoyed. He's like, come on. Like how? I was like, do you know how hard it is to learn how to read Chinese?
Yeah.
Like you need like 2,000 to 3,000 characters to be fluent or to be literate. And I spent 12 years in Chinese school every Saturday of my life. I never got to see X-Men cartoons in the morning and I'm still bitter. And I'm still not literate. Like I just 12 years of my life every Saturday
you spent
in- all right like and I'm not literate, but our oldest 2 children will probably be literate in like a year or 2. Okay, they can write in it, they can read both simplified and traditional, they're reading like their grade level books in Taiwan, you know, like mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, but we live in America. And I'm like, you hush your mouth.
It is what it is.
But I mean, English is really easy to learn.
It is, especially when they're around it all the time.
Right, they can speak just it, you know?
It up. Yeah.
It's not like they don't know what these words, I mean, yes, comprehension, they'll have to catch up, but like, there's no way their English is going to be worse than their Chinese.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, so, but he's not bilingual. He took like years of Spanish and can't say anything.
Yeah. One of the deciding factors for my husband, he's Cape Verdean. They speak Creole and also Portuguese, and his mother's generation spoke it. But back then it was, no, you don't learn the language. You speak English because we're in America now and that's it. We're done with our language. Which is no longer the case. And so he really regrets mm-hmm. not learning the language that his mother and his aunt and his grandmother spoke. And lacking that skill as an adult. And then, of course, he said when he got older, she's like, well, you should learn the language. And he's like, that is not happening now. Are you crazy?
No.
And it's so easy for the kids to pick up.
Yeah.
It becomes natural for them. Like, my son makes so much fun of my accent. It's ridiculous. But I'm trying.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of fun when your kids are better at you than something because they gloat.
Oh, yes.
And then they're like, feeling all good about their like accomplishments, and so their goal right now is to like know more than me in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And they like think it's hilarious when I like use the wrong word, or like they're like a word that I used wrong like 2 years ago they still remember, and they like make fun of me about it now. I'm like, okay, I'll give you that, whatever.
Yeah. But all that you have, it's because
I paid for that.
I got it done for you.
I got you there.
Now, is the goal to continue all the way through high school, or have you not thought about that?
My goal is for them to, I would ideally like for them to homeschool all the way through college.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is because, you know, by the time you hit high school, at a certain age, I think in California, it's like 14, you can start taking community college courses.
Yeah.
And then you get college credit for it, and you also get weighted grades for it. And so then you end up, I guess, with more credits in college. So you start off as a sophomore, maybe a junior.
Yeah,
right?
You can do
and I'm
that.
Like, I have four kids. I have to pay to send to college.
And that's a lot of money.
You should,
especially in the state of California.
You should take 2 years instead of four.
Can we do this a little bit faster?
Right? So, like, you know, help a mama out.
Yeah.
So, or at least it gives them more flexibility. Because of all the AP classes I took or whatever, I started off as a sophomore at college. So I had more room to, like, take classes I liked
mm-hmm.
versus classes for my major.
Yeah.
So
I did that. I was a nerd, too. So I'll
That's
admit
why
to
we
it.
Liked each other.
Yeah. So I was a bit of a nerd, and I took AP courses in college. And then I ended up not going to college. Well, I took AP courses in high school for college credit, and then I didn't go to college till later, so it didn't matter anyway.
But, I mean, I don't use my college degree. So.
You do. You teach children.
Okay.
That counts.
And it was a microbiology degree, and they are certainly covered in microorganisms.
See?
There you go.
It helps.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Mom Self-Care Planner. As a mother, you take on a ton of roles. Mom, taxi driver, cook, housekeeper, activities coordinator, holiday planner, house manager, wife, lover, employee, caretaker, the list just goes on. And balancing all the roles that come along with motherhood can be overwhelming, and the next thing you know, there is no room on the to-do list for you. But mamas, we have got to prioritize our self-care, or we become burned out, stressed out, and completely overwhelmed. But that is not easy when you are a mama. It takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work. And the Mom Self-Care Planner is designed to walk you through creating a personal plan for the daily practice of your self-care to support you in your mental, spiritual, social, physical, and emotional health. This will help you better manage your stress levels, feel less overwhelmed, be more resilient when those kiddos are driving you nuts, and leave you as a happier and healthier mom. So get your Mom Self-Care Planner today. Click on the link in our show notes. And as a listener, just type podcast into the discount code and you will get 10% off your purchase.
Now, you also blog about this.
Mm-hmm.
MandarinMama.com. Do I have it right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, I got it right.
MAMA, not MOMMA.
Okay. And we'll put that in the show notes so everyone can click on it. But you also blog about your personal journeys and your personal.
Yes.
So you blog about being homeschooling and teaching your children Chinese, Mandarin. but you also write a lot about your own personal discoveries.
Yes.
And
yes.
Did it start out that way, or were you just going to write about homeschooling?
Well, when I started, I hadn't homeschooled at all. Mm-hmm. So I started mostly because I want people to read the stuff I write.
Yes.
And think the thoughts I think. Oh, no, not exactly that, but, you know, so it. I started writing about personal things, and then I actually added, because teaching kids Mandarin was a part of my life, that's how I ended up writing about Mandarin mm-hmm. things. I just chose the name Mandarin Mama because it was alliterative.
Yeah.
And I speak Mandarin, and I'm a mama.
Yeah. But I also found that writing is like a form of therapy for me, because when you have yes. that many children and it's that many small children, it can be a little bit suffocating at times. Let's just be honest. And you kind of need some form of an outlet, mm-hmm. especially if you're the one at home all the time with them.
Yeah.
And would you say that that's what it did for you also, or were you just a creative outlet? Or
so I've always wanted to write. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to, like, when, in my 20s, I wanted to be like a writer, like write books and like, and so I started the blog in hopes that I could also monetize it at some point. Mm-hmm. But also a way to like write and practice the discipline of writing. I think it was pretty subconscious at the time, but that was my goal. And I wanted to talk about the things that I was going through, because I feel like everyone should know. I feel like I have something to say. And so it isn't so much therapeutic, but it is a good way to, for me anyways, to like crystallize my thinking. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to have like all these thoughts churning around in your brain or like feelings, and you kind of get the idea of it. But it's another thing to explain it in a way so someone else understands.
Yeah, and can relate to it.
Right. So I think, mostly it was just, I am very self-important. And I was like, well, I want to write things and I want people to read it. And so
last year, it seemed to me that you changed your writing a little bit, changed your style a little bit. I know we're in a group together where we're, I guess, mentored or... It's kind of a bloggers group where yes. we Courage to Earn, where we work together mm-hmm. and encourage each other to do things. But I know you were being given some challenges to write and to just put yourself out there more. Oh. And I want to know, behind the scenes, I know something was going on. Yes, I'm leading towards something here that I want an answer from you from. Or you have some personal things that you were right. going through, which I want you to talk about, because I feel like a lot of women go through this mm-hmm. and we all may deal with it differently, because mm-hmm. I know I have felt this year, especially turning 40, and we're mm-hmm. about the same age.
Yes.
That some changes needed to be made.
Yeah.
So what in this past year, I know some things have been going on with you.
So what Alicia is reading from. Talking about putting me on blast as I mockingly refer to it as like setting my life on fire last year. So last year, for about 6 months, I feel like I started to have like a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. It was very frustrating to me because I had wanted to make 2018 my year.
Yeah.
Like I was going to do all these things. I had like income goals. I had like writing goals. I was going to do another book. I had all these plans. And then, and I worked really hard the first four months. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Mom 2, and I came home. And the reentry was really hard, apparently, because I was like, it was just hard. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't do anything. I just wanted, I was online watching, like, K-pop videos, like, 10 hours a day, like, I barely fed my children. So this is the benefit of homeschooling. You don't actually have to go anywhere, really. Yes. Unless you have these classes that you've already paid for, then you yes. go to those things. Thank God for those things. Otherwise, my children would have learned nothing. and then summer, and then it was just really, really hard. And I couldn't figure out why. Mm-hmm. And I finally realized, you know, it was Well, it helps that I go to therapy. Yeah. So the counselor was very helpful.
If you are a mom, you should go to therapy
yes.
at some point.
Oh, my God. No, I used to take all four kids. Well, before I had four, I was pregnant. I would take all three kids and then all four kids to my therapist's office. And they would sit in the lobby and be on the screen for like an hour and a half or whatever, however long it took. Because otherwise they would not have lived to see the next therapy session.
But that is like, you have to do those things to be serious about your self-care so that your children can benefit from a better you.
Well, they call her the angry doctor because I had started going because I was like, because I was always so angry at my children and I was screaming at them. Like I screamed so loud once at my oldest that I totally thought it was like an exaggeration in cartoons when I used to see it, but like his hair moved.
Oh my God.
And when that happened, I was like, I try not to laugh, first of all, because I was like, wait, that's real? I yelled at you so loudly that your hair moved? And then I was horrified.
Yes, I've been there.
You know, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I've turned into my father, right? And my father was a horrible person. And so, and I felt like I dealt a lot with that, like anger and this. So that I've already been in therapy like maybe 3 years by this time, I don't know. But and it's not the first time I've processed through these things. But you know, kids bring up different things, right? Like they're different triggers.
Yes.
And like you think you're fine and then your kid doesn't do what you want to do and you're like about to smack him into next Tuesday. And you're like, wait, we don't do that.
That and you're like, where the hell did that come from?
Oh my God.
It's shocking. Like how can I have that feeling towards something that is literally from my body, but it just comes up from I don't know where.
Yes, and it's like my husband says, like when I turn into a Hulk, right? Like he's like, oh, mommy's turning into Hulk, mommy, or whatever. And I'm like, it's accurate. But you know, so I think this year, what happened was I was like, wait, I'm getting all the things that I wanted. I'm getting all the things that I wanted. Why am I so unhappy? Why am I so angry? Like I'm hitting the income goals. I'm doing what I thought I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted four kids. I got my four kids. You know, I wanted homeschooling. I got homeschooling. I wanted to have them bilingual. We're doing the bilingual thing. Like we're doing all these things that I thought I wanted. Why am I so unhappy? Mm-hmm. Why is my life? And you feel like so ungrateful. Like, I have a good life. I don't have to work.
Yeah.
You know, I have a good husband. He's a good man. You know, my kids are great. And all I wanted to do was like, I never had this feeling because my father abandoned us. Mm-hmm. And then he was an abusive person, just a horrible person. And so before my daughter was born, I told him, I love you, but you cannot be in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never understood when my first son was born. I was like, he was my world. I couldn't understand how my father could have left us.
Yeah.
And so, but I never understood. And this year I was like, I wanted to open that door and walk out and never come back. And I couldn't understand how I could feel this way for children that I willed into existence, that I loved. And I wanted to murder.
Oh my God, it's so true. That just a juxtaposition of feeling, and it's so hard to process that you can feel those extremes for something so precious and so little, and it's so hard to explain. And then you feel awful for having those feelings.
Because people are like, oh, you should treasure every moment. You love your children. And I'm like, no, I want to smash them.
But that's one thing I adore about you, that you can say those truths. Because to me, that is the mark of a good mother. No, I mean, seriously, because a lot of women feel that way and they bury it and they don't deal with it and they just Because with kids, a lot of times you have to stuff your feelings down. Those mm-hmm. natural feelings that come up, you have to adult. And you have
horrible
to,
word. Yes. Adulting.
And
horrible
you have thing. To be the responsible one, and you can't act the way you feel like you want to mm-hmm. act. And it builds up over
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And the fact that you confronted that and had to deal with that
mm-hmm.
and recognize that it was coming up.
Yeah.
And so what, is that something you're still going through? Is it something?
No. Well, within reason, I feel like mm-hmm. it's not quite so intense. I think a lot of it was just sort of like realizing that this is actually my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then that I have to get over it. I mean, that's so horrible, but it's like,
yeah.
I think as I processed it and as I confronted my anger or like, I think a lot of it started last year too. Well, let's be real. It's always ongoing, right?
Yeah.
It's like layers. You think you've hit the core of something and then something else happens and you like peel back more. So until like maybe like the end of 2017, I had always like constructed this narrative of my like childhood. Like my father was the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was the victim. My brother and I were like the supporting, if this was a movie, we'd be the cute kids crying in the corner. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like what happened to us? And I never, but that's not a real, like my father had good parts.
Yeah.
Right. Like I learned a lot of things from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like a person.
It's never black and white.
No. And my mom wasn't a saint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I slowly started to realize, actually, I was actually very angry at my mother. I was
mm-hmm.
very angry. I was
mm-hmm.
like, how could you not have protected us? How could you have stayed with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could you, the whole hashtag of why I stayed.
Yeah.
Like, that was like 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me. And I was like, I think working through those things, like, oh, I'm actually, I mean, we all know I'm a very, not we all know, but like, we always joke that I'm like a very angry person. And I am, but they say like what anger is the surface emotion, the deeper
uh-huh.
emotion is actually pain and hurt, right?
Uh-huh.
And you, a lot of times we just stop at the anger.
Yeah.
And so I originally went to therapy because I was just always angry. I was screaming at my kids. And then it got better, but it would come back. It would
yeah.
get better, come back. She's like, you know, at our first session, I thought she was so full of shit. And the only reason I chose her was because I had, like, limited options of people, like, at a certain time or whatever. She's this, like, white lady, and I'm like, hey, you're a white lady. Okay.
You'll get this.
And in our first session, she's like, I think your issue is about identity. And you don't know, you are not in touch with your emotions, and you need to learn how to deal with your emotions, like how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, after that session, I texted all my friends. I like, this lady's, I don't know if we're going to stay with her. Not touch with my emotions. I need to be mindful. What the hell? Mindful? What the hell is mindfulness? And like, I'm angry. I know. I'm in touch. I know what emotions are. I'm angry. I'm like, I don't have identity crisis. And I still laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, 3 years later, I'm, like, sobbing in her office. Like, I just don't know who I am. I don't know my identity. I don't know how to deal with these emotions. I don't even know what emotions are. I was like, everything she said, like, day one. It was there, right? Like, so, yes, listen to your therapist. But, yeah, I think eventually it was just, I mean, I don't know if you've had the same experience, but, like, after you work through, like, the initial rage and, like,
yeah.
for lack of a better term, scientifically,
mm-hmm.
You kind of think more about it, sit more about it, and, like, and then process through these things.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, you have to keep pulling back.
Yeah.
The layer, and you get through one, and then something else comes up, and you have to pull back that layer.
Yeah.
So, and it's just an ongoing process.
It is. And this is going to sound stupid, but so I'm really into this band called BTS. The K-pop.
The K-pop prettiness. That took me a month to understand how pretty they were. And then I was like, but they're dudes, but they're so pretty. And you couldn't, I couldn't decide whether my attraction to them was because I wanted to be them or I wanted to have sex with them, but I wasn't quite sure.
Sure which one it is.
I don't know, but we'll go with it. And so I don't think I'd done this since I was like high school. You just like start fantasizing like scenarios of like, you know, what if I met BTS? I was like, well, I'm 40 and they're like 24. That's just weird. And I have four kids. This is an impossible scenario. So well, what if I was their age? How would I get here? And I realized it's kind of like when they like children do therapy and they do like they play with dolls and they act out scenes. But I realized that's what I was kind of doing.
Yeah.
Like acting out scenarios and, you know, creating a backstory for this fictional me who's going to like, I don't know, whatever.
Escape.
Like, have this love life with one of these people, right? But like, and what I realized is as I was working through this fantasy of like what I thought I would want this person, this fictional person to have, or even I have an idea for a novel, like as I'm working through these ideas for the novel, that all I was trying to do was get back to what I had, that I already have. Because everything, if I was this like 24-year-old pop star and was going to find love with one of the BTS members, that's so stupid when I say this. It's so embarrassing. But the whole point was to find love, get married, have children.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I have that.
Yes.
I am married to the person I love and I have children with him. Right? And I was like, and then in my novel, the whole like, it's a giant metaphor for the midlife crisis. And again, like the whole goal was how do I get back to what I currently have?
Yeah.
And I realized I was working through scenarios. And as I was like creating backstories, it would trigger like certain memories that I had with my own family and like growing up with my dad or like my mom and stuff. So it was a way I would talk about it in therapy. Like why did I have a panic attack while driving? Because I was thinking up a backstory of how I became friends with BTS. Maybe we should cut this whole thing
out. I'm loving it. It's not going anywhere.
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. But, you know, but like, it was shocking to me. Like, I'm fantasizing about how to get what I have. But what I have is making me really unhappy, or so I either really believe this is what I want and I have it,
yeah,
then I better figure my shit out to keep what I have and enjoy it,
yeah,
or like, you know, deal with my life as it is.
It's almost sometimes there's this fantasy of what marriage and kids is gonna be like,
right?
And you start having kids and you're going and you're doing. And suddenly, sometimes the reality of everyday kids and marriage just smacks you in the face. And it's like, this is not what the hell I thought it was supposed to be.
This is not what I signed up for, even though this is what I signed up for.
Yes, you cannot know what the hell you're signing up for when you sign up for this shit.
Yeah. I mean, I joke that like my midlife crisis was a consequences of my poor life choices. But I made those life choices because I believed that's what would make me happy or what would make me satisfied. And so when I, you know, reexamined it, like, okay, well, now I'm married. I have these kids. And I said I wanted to homeschool. Is that actually what I want?
Yeah.
And I thought about the alternative. I was like, yes, homeschooling also makes me miserable. But the alternative would make me more miserable.
Yeah.
So I either choose the different misery. I mean, it's all going to be, there's all like
degrees.
Crap, right? Like I can send my kids to public school, but then I have to deal with like the PTA and like pick up and drop off and like four kids at three different schools. And like, it's a different type of crap, right? It's not like all of a sudden my problems are fixed. It's just a new set of problems, right? Or like I could give up teaching my kids Chinese. Right.
And easier.
Right. Which I think these are all valid options. Right. Mm-hmm. I can look back at my choice and say, this is what I thought would make me happy. I've changed my mind. Let's try something new.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a firm believer in that. But when I stopped and reevaluated, it's like, no,
that's not what I want to do. Well, if those are not the things that I want to do, and I want to stick, continue, because my husband was like, you know, you don't have to homeschool.
Yeah.
He's like, if you want to write, it's hard to write if your kids are at home.
Your four children are at home.
Right? Like, yes. Send some of them to our taxpayer money
public
school. And I was like, no, this is what I want to do. And then he's like, well, then you need to figure shit out, right? And so I think a lot of that was finally accepting, like, okay, well, I'm actively choosing this now. It's mm-hmm. not like this is, we've just passively been swept along to this point now, right? Yes. Like, I'm actively choosing this. I know this is what it's like. So I can either suck it up and, like, make better choices in the terms of, like, dealing with our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And either scaling back my expectations or paying for a babysitter or making the things. Like, I can't continue the way I was thinking and the way I was operating.
Yes.
And expect everything to change, right? Yeah. Like, so I have to make changes if I want my life to be better, especially if I don't want to make the big changes to make my life better.
Yes,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, the choices.
Like, so if I don't want to send my kids to public school and I want to homeschool, but it makes me unhappy. Like, we have to figure out how to make me happy in this set of scenarios. Like, yes. Right? Like, so it was very slow to come out. And thank you, BTS, for being fictional humans in my mind. But, you know, every week my friend and I, like, take turns watching all seven of our children.
Yeah. Right? I mean, after four, it doesn't really matter.
No, I mean, it's easier, multiply. Right? It's easier because they just play with each other. Yeah. I don't have to deal with you. So we don't care what you do with those 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go home and nap? She oftentimes goes home to clean. I'm like, what? Why?
It probably calms her down.
It does, you know? Or she's like, run errands. I was like, run errands with your children. Why don't you just nap? Mm-hmm. Like, but I choose to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've tried to, like, think of things that I can write when the children, because now my children can read Chinese. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of curriculum that they can just read in Chinese or mm-hmm. do in Chinese. And math doesn't really have English, unless it's like word problems, and they can read a little bit of English now too. So what I try to do is do the type of writing that I can write without, like, much thought.
Yeah.
You know, like, uh-huh. like my shit posts of, like, yeah. like bathroom
you're
box,
running,
right?
Box, you know, yeah, like going.
But I wouldn't be able to, like, write a post of, like, my deep fears of intimacy.
Yes.
You know, and those I would save for
your late night jaunts, yes. The ramen joint.
Yes, the IT place, boba place, right? And my husband's really good about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he, and he's expressed, like, he wishes I was home more, like, if we could do more family things together, yeah. So.
But I think you need a little time to carve the space out for you.
Yeah.
Because I have also started to do that this year, because after having four kids and being buried in kids for 9 years now, I lost myself, and mm-hmm. I was angry, but I don't think it came out in the same way that yours did. But I was kind of shutting down and, like, you know, passive aggressively not spending as much time with my husband. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not being mean or anything, but I'm like, I'm touched out. I don't feel like,
right.
I'm not saying that, but that's what I feel like on the inside. Cause there was nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that you are carving out the space for you, which we have to do as women, and so many of us do not do. And then we end up pissed off and we don't even know why.
Yeah.
And because we've just lost ourselves and all this resentment
mm-hmm.
from everything just builds up.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll come back to that, adding him into the circle, but you get to take that time. Like, hell, you've had children for how many years? You need some recovery time.
Yeah, he's really good about it. And I think I've had a lot more me time than he has.
Mm-hmm. Because he pretty much goes from work, and then he, as soon as he walks in, I'm like, I'm out, peace out. Yeah. Right? And I'm sure, so we always joke, like, it's like we have split custody, except we're married. Like, we believe, we don't play zone.
Yeah.
Is it zone? I don't know. It's not one-on-one.
I gotcha.
Right? Like, it's either his turn or my turn. Right? Yeah. We very rarely are together at the same time.
With the kids.
Yeah, it's very rare, actually.
Yeah.
And so he has expressed that he would like me to do more things with them as a family.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I could do that. I guess. And he actually enjoys spending time with the children.
Yeah.
Very strange man. But thank God for him, because, you know, it makes me very happy that my kids love, you know, to be with him and play.
It's a big change from what you grew up with.
Yeah. Like, he's like, what? One Saturday, he took them to, like, McDonald's and then Chuck E. Cheese and then to a park and then to a plaza.
That's a lot of hours.
I was like, why you gotta make me look like a dick? I was like, I took them to the park twice this week, which is also rare. But, like, what is wrong? Why? Why are you doing this to me?
Me out here. But you have a good partner.
Yes, he's a great partner.
And it takes a tag team, because lordies, with all these kids.
Yes, we are still married because he's good at apologizing. No, I'm serious. I'm a horrible person.
I laugh because neither me or my husband are good at apologizing. We both recognize our ways of apologizing, so that is good for us. It works for us, but neither one of us are good at saying sorry.
My husband is so good at saying sorry. And I don't even know if he's lying or not. Like, I don't...
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. No. I think he's sincere. I choose to believe that he's sincere. But if he's not, he is. He understands me. He knows what to say so that we stay married, right? Like, and then because he is willing to say sorry, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I was wrong there. Like, so that over the 17 years we've been together, like 18, whatever, however long, like I have learned to also apologize and that I will not die.
Yes. You've mastered it with your children.
Right, but they're small.
Yes. There's not as much.
Yeah. Like, there's not as much like, well, you shouldn't have said that. And what did you mean by calling me an Uber driver? Oh, so mad.
Well, this has been fantastic. And thank you for being so open and vulnerable with me.
Yes, I didn't expect to cry, actually.
I think a lot of moms are going to relate.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, I love you.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum. And I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on the Mom Forum.